Well, good morning, church. Today is going to be a special day. If you don't know, we are actually not continuing our sermon series this morning yet. That'll start next week. But as many of you know, the women's group that went up to Beyond Malibu on the kayaking trip is back. And they're going to share with us today. So there's going to be no Oasis Kids this morning. The kids are free to join us here and just hear the stories of everything that God did on that trip with those ladies. But I think that God has something really special in store for us. You know, God loves to use things in our lives, physical, concrete things like that, to speak to us. And before we get started, I just want to share a story with you that kind of is related. It's a story that happened a long time ago. And it's from Matthew chapter 14. So this is just after the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples were exhausted. And Jesus sent them off in a boat across the lake by themselves. And he dismissed the crowds, and then he went to a quiet place to pray. And he was there for a while, just rejuvenating himself after the crazy work with the feeding of the 5,000. And a crazy storm came up on the lake and was blowing against the disciples in the boat. So where they were, they really weren't making progress. They were kind of standing still, but they were out in the middle of the lake. And Jesus took off, was done praying, he took off walking across the lake. Walking on the water through a crazy storm. And as he approached the boat, the disciples looked and they saw him, and they cried out because they thought it was a ghost. They were terrified. And Jesus called out to him. He said, "Hey, don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's just me." And Peter, when he saw Jesus and he heard that, he said, "Lord, if it really is you, if it's really you out there, let me come to you." And Jesus just held out his hands and he said, "Hey, come." And I love that bull-headed, full of faith guy, Peter. He jumped out in the water and he started walking on the water out to Jesus. But he took his eyes off Jesus for a second as he looked around and he saw the water swirling around him and the wind blowing him in the face, and he started to sink. And he screamed and he said, "Jesus, Lord, save me." And Jesus just reached out his hand and took Peter by the hand and pulled him up. And he said, "Why do you have such little faith? Why were you afraid? I'm here." And he took Peter by the arm and they got back in the boat together. And immediately the wind and the waves died down to where it was just a clear night, clear stillness, and silence. And everyone who was in the boat just looked at Jesus and they worshiped him. And they said, "Man, Jesus, you really are the Son of God, aren't you?" And they worshiped him. I want to invite you to worship him as the Son of God that he is. And just like he was in the boat with those disciples, he's here now. And some of us have some crazy storms that are swirling around us that he has sent us out into to show us how he is God.
It's great to be back with you. I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, had a great time. Awesome time, saw some beautiful country. I went to Montana on the motorcycle, had a great time except for when I pulled up to a gas station in the middle of nowhere. And Michael Aid was with me, and we are in the middle of nowhere. And pulled up to the gas tank, gas pump, pulled the red handle thing out, started filling my tank, and I looked up and I said, red dye diesel. You don't put diesel in a gas engine. Got about a half a gallon in there, and I thought, oh, help me, Jesus. And because we were in the middle of nowhere, and I started calling for help. called Brian Holthy, a mechanic, called my brother, who's a mechanic, called the Suzuki dealership, waiting for someone to tell me what I wanted to hear. And none of them would tell me what I wanted to hear, and that was I could just fill the rest of the tank with gas, and then just motor on down. They said, no, you don't want to do that. But we had a great time. The bad news is I had to have my bike towed to Kalispell, about 65 miles away. The good news to the Suzuki dealership, the really bad news is I did not walk out of the dealership with a new bike. The good news is it only took 50 bucks and 15 minutes for them to drain my tank and get it going. And the really good news is I didn't have to pay the $270 tow bill. My insurance covered it. So thank Jesus for roadside assistance. Can we get someone to turn up these lights here? You guys look like you're in the shade. So, right behind it. Thanks, Greg. In life, do you ever feel like you're in over your head? You know, Jesus did. It's amazing to think that Jesus felt that way, you know, in this story in Mark, in Matthew chapter 14, and it's also told in Mark chapter 6. I preached on it a couple of months ago. Except Mark leaves part of the story out. Matthew, probably with a great sense of humor, tells the whole story. And that is the story of Peter walking and then sinking. Jesus was in over his head. He felt that way. Like Nate had shared, they just fed the 5,000, an exhausting time, but the reason that they were trying to get away was because Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had been murdered. And Jesus says, I've had enough. And he says, let's go for vacation. Let's get away. And then they end up feeding 5,000 because people kept following him. And Jesus says, you guys go back across the lake by yourself. I'm just going to go pray. And he goes up to the mountaintop and he begins to pray until about 4 or 5 in the morning. And he knew this storm was coming, but he didn't go to them yet. He didn't go to them yet. Until finally about 5 in the morning, he comes walking in on the water. Kind of an odd thing. And these disciples are scared to death. They're rowing like their life depends on it. They're up against probably the most powerful force that they knew of, and they recognized that, and it wasn't going well. They felt over their head. Like Peter, he felt like he is in over his head, but he sees Jesus coming to them in the middle of the storm. We don't know if it was in a moment of courage or bravado or insanity. But before Jesus even calms the wind and the waves, he calls out to Jesus. We don't really know why. It'd be an interesting question to ask him. But he says, Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says one word. And what is that one word? Come. You think you're in over your head now, Peter? Just wait, come. And in the midst of the chaos and in the midst of the uncertainty and in the midst of the fear, Peter got out of the boat. And you got to love that. I don't know why he got out of the boat. We don't know why. We don't have the answer to that question. But he got out of the boat. And he starts walking on the water. And he came towards Jesus, but like all of us, somewhere along the way, when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he became afraid. And then he started to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." He knew he was in over his head. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Well, he doubted because he got focused on circumstances. He got focused on himself. He got focused on his self-pity. He got focused on everything that was going on around him, right? I don't know if you guys are like me, but I see this, especially when I ride the bike. Sorry, I spent 1,500 miles on the bike, and so it's in my mind. But I've noticed something over the years, and that is whatever I'm focused on, whatever I look at is where the bike goes. That is not good. We were going up the St. Joe River Valley in Idaho. Michael was following me, and I just got captivated by everything around me. And then I think, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. And Michael said, "Martin, don't look at the scenery." Where we focus is where our life will go. If we focus on our circumstances, if we focus on our fears, if we focus on whatever it is around us, our own self-pity, our own insecurities, whatever it might be, that is where we will go. Every time. Y'all ever see that in your life? Raise your hand if you've seen that in your life. Where you will focus is where you'll go. And very quickly. Very, very quickly. But I love Peter. He said, "Man, I'm going down." He says, "Jesus, help me. Help me." Jesus says, "Why did you doubt? Why did you get focused on everything else? Because that took you away from me. That removed your confidence. That removed your perspective. That removed your certainty. That took you away from me." That's why we need this Sunday morning time especially. Because it realigns our focus. It realigns our focus. I'm really proud of these women who went on this 8-day excursion. When my wife, I've shared this before, but for those of you who haven't heard, when my wife came to me 9 months ago and said, "I've got a crazy idea." And she said, I said, "I don't think it's crazy. I think you ought to do it." Because I knew it would stretch her. And one of my things, I was praying for her and praying for them as they went on this event, this adventure, this experience, was that one, that God would meet them in the deepest parts of their souls. And secondly, that God would be gentle on them. That no one would become an orca chew toy. Beyond Malibu is a Christian camp started by Young Life. And you can go to the Malibu, which I call Club Med. It's where they do everything for you. Everything is high class. But then you can go to Beyond Malibu, which is nothing. You give them nothing, and you go on an experience that stretches you and challenges you and makes you want to cry out, "Help me, Jesus." And that's what they went on. But we're going to show you a video that they put together, so just to help you see it. All right, ladies, come on up. And I'm going to, Cindy, would you grab that mic back there? All right. Now, there are some members who are missing. One is Linda McCoy. Linda got severely dehydrated while she was up there, so she is recovering from that. Candy is out of town, and who else is missing?
Jane
Quine is in Hong Kong. So, all right, so I'm going to go ahead and start. Did you guys have any Help Me Jesus moments? Okay. Why did you even want to go on this trip?
When I first saw it in the bulletin, I don't know, about 6.5 months ago, I knew immediately that I had to go on this trip, that God was calling me to be stretched, to go out of my comfort zone, and not to be defined by my health, because I'm diabetic, not to be defined by my shoulder pain, not to be defined by insecurities of becoming known by other women. And I knew that no matter what the cost, I was going to go.
Well, and the whole reason why I wanted to do this was I wanted to do it as well as take women with me, take them to a place where to get in God's creation, experience Him, and experience that amongst a group of other people and build those relationships. So that's why I went and why I organized the whole thing.
Well, I had been attending Elim for about 1 year when I was invited to consider this trip. And immediately I said yes, and then about immediately a little later I said, what am I thinking?
Because you don't even like water, right?
I don't even like water. No, I like to look at water, but the thought of being underwater and in the water was very scary to me. And yet, what this trip became was I knew that it would be a step of faith. And I knew that it would be, I was at a place in my life where I was trying to understand God's sovereignty in my life and why it's so important to yield to it. So it was just, it was a sort of a parallel of a walk of faith. And there was a determination that I know that was the Holy Spirit in me to just persevere and do something that I would never ordinarily do.
Okay. Who else would like to share? Carla.
As I shared with someone once before, this was my little mini Mount Everest. I'm going to cry. I've cried a lot over the last couple of weeks. I cried through every one of the songs this morning. That for a long time I've defined myself by my physical limitations. And I thought, I have to do this. It was God working in my heart to say, it's okay if you're not enough, because I'm going with you.
When we were at community group retreat last fall, Kim said, what do you think about this idea? And I'm thinking, that sounds fantastic. I was looking forward to a season where I wasn't responsible. It seems like it's been a busy season. And so, but I found that we got to work together. It wasn't just on me, but us working together. So that was really great. And we've been here almost 4 years, and shame on me for not participating and jumping into women's ministry. We have some great ladies here, and I have 9 new sisters here. So that was great.
So what were some of the outcomes that you guys were hoping for? What did you hope that God would do? Cindy.
Well, I had hoped to be in better shape physically. That wasn't God. That was all me, so I have to take that one. But really, other than that, I intentionally had no expectations other than to survive. And I figured if I survived, that we were doing really good. But when I, as I was approaching the trip, and then especially as we got closer, what I really sensed the Lord was saying to me is, I just want you to enjoy me. I just want you to be present and enjoy me. Enjoy me in my creation, because I'm going to show you a part of the world that I'd not been to before. And it was just amazing and gorgeous, and you saw some of the pictures, and pictures don't do it justice. Enjoy my majesty. Enjoy who I am as your creator. Enjoy my presence in these women that you get to spend time with. Enjoy my peace and my grace and their love that's evident in their lives. Enjoy me in the hard things. Know that I'm with you. You're not alone. Enjoy me. And he did, and I did, and I'm continuing to.
I know one thing that I had hoped for was to meet women, and at a level deeper than the churchy, you know, the church moment or the Bible study. And as it turned out, these darling guides, there were 2 young women that volunteer their summers. One was a senior at UW, Aubrey. She's 21 years old. Just a depth to her as a young woman that was just delightful to be around. And then our other guide, her name was Karen. She's a Canadian, lives in Victoria, and she's 26. And just a richness to her and a maturity to her. So those 2 young guides ministered to us, And they were so cute because they had never led a group like ours, you know. You know, grandmas and moms. And so they were so cute because this was their last tour that they were going to be guiding for the summer. So they just said, we just want to sit at your feet and learn from you, and which was adorable. But the truth is we learned God used them in our lives. And part of what they brought to our group is they had us all tell our life stories to the group at some point during the week, and they started, and they told some very heartfelt, in their short little lives, a lot of suffering and pain that they had experienced, which really modeled to us how vulnerable we can be and just let down the guard. And so we heard all of our life stories for the first time. So we met on a level that you just don't usually see. So that was a real special part of the trip.
Rachel, what did you hope would be your outcome, and how did God meet you there?
I just wanted to get away and enjoy God in His creation. I've been so busy that I just wanted to step away from just all the busyness and have that just one-on-one time with God, and He definitely met me there. And like everybody's mentioned, I came home with 9 other wonderful sisters in Christ.
Anything else? Who else would like to share about that? Anyone else to that question? What did you hope would be the outcome, and did God fulfill that outcome?
Yes and yes.
Okay, we'll move on. How did God meet you? How did God answer my prayers for you? How did God meet you and reveal Himself to you?
Well, I have to. And there's a bunch of other questions, but really this answer to this answers those other questions too. What the highlight of it was, and the highlight and how God met me was the last night we did a night paddle. And so we started about 9 o'clock, and it took us probably about 3 or 4 hours to get to the landing. And it was a crystal clear night, and we just don't see stars here that are out there. And I was supposed to be steering the kayak, and I kept going way up here, and I kept telling
Candy.
Kind of
like how I ride the motorcycle, huh?
Yeah. It was because I kept leaning back and just looking. You could see the silhouette of the mountains on the side, the dark silhouette, and just the incredible stars, and you could see the Milky Way. And I read in a book that you see only about 2,000 We only see with our naked eye 2,000 stars, and yet our solar system in the Milky Way is like the size of a quarter in North America. The Milky Way is North America. Our solar system is a quarter, and then there's billions of stars in the Milky Way, and then there's billions of galaxies, and there's so many, and there's stars beyond stars. I just look at the stars, and I think of the staggering immensity of God, and yet that God... I was going to read scripture, and I totally spaced it, but that God loves us. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, and He loves me. And then that coupled with a verse that He gave me, Psalm 46:10, cease striving and know that I am God. And that cease striving in my notes, in other words, were let go, relax, and know that I am God. And I'm always trying to solve problems and fix things, and I get this issue, and I just think, okay, the God that created the immensity of the universe, and yet He loves me, and He just wants me to let Him be God. And so that's how God met me there. So I know He met all of you too.
I think God met me in 3 ways that were totally, I had totally not expected Him to meet me in. I have a lot of shoulder pain issues in my right shoulder, and I was very worried about that on the trip. And I have surgery scheduled for the end of September for that, and I had 0 shoulder pain the entire time. Yeah, I had incredibly sore shoulders, I think we all did for the first couple days, but 0 shoulder pain. And so that was a huge blessing. And the second way because I'm diabetic, I have to, I take medication for that. And two mornings that we got up very early, 3:30 and 4 a.m., I had very low blood sugars on those mornings. And it was very scary for me. I was shaking and crying, and I was absolutely worthless until I could eat my protein bar. And that took about an hour for it to kick in. And during that time, everybody else was up above, tearing down the campsites, getting everything ready. And I was just a mess at the kayak waiting for my blood sugar to go up. And I felt incredibly selfish during that time because I had to focus on me not having a servant's heart and helping. And my beautiful sisters, including our guides, were so gracious and extended Christ's love to me so deeply by reminding me that it's okay to take care of myself, that that's important, and that I'm worth doing that. And they showed Christ's love in such an incredible depth to me that I hadn't expected that. And I think the biggest way for me that he met me on this trip, and it's probably a silly thing to listen to, but I pee a lot. I do, because I'm diabetic, and I just do. And we're paddling 4 to 6 hours at a time. And the two options, if you have to go, are doing a hang and drain or wetting your pants in the kayak. And there's no way I was doing this hang and drain thing. And
do you, that's okay. No,
I wonder if, yeah, that's best for our memories. So, but anyway, there's no way I was going to do that. And peeing my pants was an option, but I just couldn't go there. And so every morning I would seriously pray, God, please help me get my business done before we had to get on the water or take the urge away. And every single day he met me. And this is such a small way. I mean, yeah, I know he loves me. I know he met me in big areas. But this is such an incredibly small thing for me to pray about. And believe me, I pleaded before we got in that boat, please, God, help me with this. And he met me in that. And I had no urge until my feet got out of that kayak and I was in the water. So I just stand in awe of the fact that he loves me even in the smallest areas of my life, and even in the smallest details of my life. He cares enough about me that he took that urge away, and I can't get over that. I mean, that's a huge, huge area for me to experience, and I'm forever grateful that I was able to do that.
And if I may, oh, there I am. Okay. In answer to that question, if I may, I wanted to read out of what we did journaling every day. We did devotionals every day. Like she said, everybody took turns sharing their life story, and I just wanted to read something that I wrote that's kind of along that same line. We got up early again, 3:30, and made it out of camp by 5:45. This is day 5. We're working our way back to the landing, and I had a serious panic attack this morning as soon as I got in my third kayak. The cockpit was very narrow, and the boat felt extremely tippy. I almost bit my friend's head off because I thought that she was going to topple us over. Everything began to too much and too overwhelming at the same time, and I burst into tears. God came to the rescue, though. I'm amazed at the friends that God has blessed me with and the way that he has answered their prayers on my behalf. God has touched me and healed me starting the very first day when we took off. We have been safe. No major injuries, no equipment failures, none of us broke down except me. And the first morning in our camp, I desperately wanted to just go home. Everything was too much. Everything hurt, all of my joints, and my head was pounding. But Jesus propped me up, eased my aches, got me going. He has answered prayers about misplaced items, aching muscles, toileting needs, safe crossings, and strength to row into the wind, and even my panic attack and leg cramps. God answers prayers in the moment.
Amen. And I would just add, on that day, that was probably when she was having a hard time and concerned about the kayaks going over, that was our roughest day of paddling. And we had a rough crossing where we're being tossed, our kayaks are going like this, and then we had about an hour and a half of where we're paddling into the wind against the current. And you're paddling and you're paddling and you don't feel like you're making any progress except to look over to the side and you just can watch along the shore that you are making some progress. But what was so amazing is because Carla had had such a struggle and the panic in the morning, that God not only helped her overcome that, but then really put her in rough waters where that could have come right back. But she was very calm, and talk about a trooper. All of them were just amazing. And along that, I would share, on our second day, we had our first really rough crossing against the inlet. And when you did a crossing in the inlet, it was go, go, go. There was no resting. You're just making it to the other side of the shore. And I was thinking about what you were sharing, Martin. When we're in our circumstances, as I'm paddling and I'm being tossed to and fro, and Kim and I were together, and we would look down the inlet, and it looked like we were just in the middle of the inlet, not going anywhere. But if I looked at the water, I would just start to feel nauseous. I would lose my rhythm of paddling. But before we did every crossing, the guide would say, okay, we're going, if you look at that mountain over there and you see that grove of trees, and that's where we're going. And that was the spot. And that was Jesus. Keep your eye on where you're going. Don't stop and look at the waves. Don't stop and look down the inlet. Don't stop and look at your circumstances, but keep going. And so we made it across that crossing, and it was pretty amazing. And that night, the guide told us we were going to have an early morning wake up because they expected the next day the waters to be very choppy. And that night, I laid in bed, and I was hot, and I was sweaty, and I was stinky. And I did not want a day of rowing on choppy waters. And I laid awake, and I just said, Lord, help us. Help me and help us. And the next morning when we got the kayaks in the water, we customarily got together, we potted up, we got all the kayaks together, and we would read scripture and share a devotion. And that particular morning, they said, let's recite the 23rd Psalm. And so all together, we recited the 23rd Psalm, and one of the lines is, He leads us beside still waters. And that day was our first six-hour day of paddling, and it was supposed to be a day of choppy waters, and it was calm waters, I would say 98% of the time. And when it wasn't calm, we were going with the current. And just as Karen had shared, and Carla, and all of us could just tell story after story of where we found ourselves in a challenging place, whether it was a physical challenge or the elements or our own fears and our own attitudes, and we would just cry out to God, and He'd be right there to take care of the big and the small and what seems insignificant and the great. But there was not one prayer that did not get answered, and He saw us through. And that was just an amazing testimony and faith builder for us.
Shauna, how did God meet you?
These ladies here, some of them have been walking with the Lord much longer. They are very wise women, and I really appreciated the model of every need that they had. They brought it to the Lord in prayer, and God answered those. So that was very much of a gift to me to watch that and to pray along with them in those things. And the openness of these women to share, and the life stories that people shared, there is a need for us to be in community and to be known, known by our Savior and known by those that we're walking through life with. And so that was really special, the safety of that, to be in a group. You didn't have to hold back. And then just God's creation out in the mountains. I've never been anywhere where there was so much wilderness. There was probably three houses besides a gravel pit and a barge that would go get gravel. And then on our way back on the last night, there was a dog that barked, and it was the oddest sound to hear that, like we're in society again. But it was out there, and all of God's mountains, and, you know, sheer cliffs. So, you know, if the mountains are going up really high and they're shearing off into the ground, that means it's going really deep into that water. And I try not to think too much of all that was beneath the water, because God has shown us all the creation above the water, and it had to be teeming with life down there. We got to see parts of that, and it was really cool and scary at the same time, the underwater creatures. And then the even in the dark, we had this phenomena with the algae in the water, bioluminescence, right? Okay. And it... we had to turn the corner because the gravel pit had so many dark or so many lights that were shining that it kind of masked the darkness. But when we turned the corner, it was like glitter in the water. It was almost like Disney copied what God would do, how they do that. And I was, poor Cindy, come on, Cindy, look at this. I'm just dragging my hand in the water and flicking it up, and it's like all this glitter just going everywhere. And when you could see the fish swimming through the water, and they would create that algae to move, and it would create this light. And it was just a marvel to be able to see that. I mean, I don't know how many other opportunities you get to see that where there's no light pollution around. So that was, there was just so much of God's creation out there that totally opposite of general life that we're living in. So just His majesty in that. Hmm.
Rachel.
For me, God met me in many, many ways. The first way was that He gave me lots of energy. I did not sleep hardly at all the whole trip. And I did not feel tired one bit. And my one of my fears going in was to be really tired and then get tired of all these ladies. And
Rachel's an introvert.
To leave her behind in the wilderness.
And I really enjoyed these ladies. They each one of them has such a huge servant's heart, and they would, you know, go out of their way to help each and every one. And just seeing that and how God's love just pours out of them is just amazing. And we didn't have a schedule any of the days, so we didn't know how long we were going to be kayaking for or anything like that. And I live by my schedule. And so this was a way that God just said, be with me right here, right now. Don't look ahead. Don't worry about what's coming. Just right here, right now.
Awesome. Joan.
Well, one thing that I wanted to mention, we were all very afraid, especially me, of that in that first day when we were at the landing. And we're taught, this is how you put up our tents, this is how you paddle these boats, these kayaks, here's how you turn left, here's how you turn right. So we had like 101 training in the kayak. And we were told that at some point we were going to be taught how to capsize our kayak and be underwater and how to get out of that. And so we all, you know, we're all getting those kayaks down to the water and, you know, and getting in. And as soon as we started training, we noticed something up in the trees, and a big eagle had flown in. And I mean, that eagle was in a tall tree. Like, if this was the dock, that back wall was the tree that this eagle sat in. And he sat there the entire time. And there was just such this presence of, wow, you know, God is with us, you know. And that it's a sign of courage and strength and to be renewed and feel God, you know, lifting us up and being in His care. So we all learned how to capsize the boats, get out of those spray skirts. And so I think it was an anxiety moment for everybody because it's a weird feeling. But that way we could build confidence in if it were to capsize, which they say has never happened in a Young Life trip, that we would feel confident on what to do. And then also how to get a deep water re-entry into the kayak. So those are some of the challenging moments. And we did it, and God was with us. I wanted to just bring one thing in terms of God's sovereignty. When we did devotions, would you be willing to hold it? If you'd hold that, so sure. I can get my glasses on.
Sure.
Each one of us brought devotions to the group at some point during the trip, and it just the Book of Job and chapter 38. I'm just going to read just a few little excerpt verses where God is talking to Job. But I looked at it as I'm dealing with God's sovereignty in my life and what He's inviting me into and what He is assuring me that He's got my life all taken care of. And it's really, it's not so much about my life, it's Jesus in my life and the story that He writes. God says to Job, why are you using your ignorance to deny my sovereignty? Which God's speaking to me there. Get ready for a fight because I want some answers from you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. This is from the Living Bible. Who decreed the boundaries of the sea when they gushed from the depths? Who said to the water, you can come this far and no further? Have you once commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise? Have you ever robed the dawn in red? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me all about it if you know. Where does the light come? Or tell me about the darkness. Can you hold back the stars? Can you restrain Orion's belt? Can you ensure the proper sequence of the seasons or guide the constellations? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct it? Who gives intuition and instinct? Who provides for the ravens when their young cry out to God as they struggle up from the nest in hunger? And you know, the first night we were there at the landing, we'd had a day of training, and we had a little bit of a pink sunset, and about 11 o'clock that night, we hear rolls of thunder and strikes of lightning. It was like a strobe light show for about 4 hours, pouring down rain. And we thought, oh, good, we're going to go camping tomorrow. and yet, that was the extent of the hard rain. We had a little bit of rain that first day, and the rest we could be in short sleeves. It was mild and just enough overcast to make it comfortable, and the sun broke out when it was ready. So what this scripture meant to me, though, in God's sovereignty, though, is, you know, to realize who am I to worry about my children? Who am I to worry about relationships or where we're going to live or, you know, what the day is going to hold? And it just puts so much perspective into life.
Amen. Amen. And just on a very little different note, you guys saw orcas, seals, and a cougar.
I have Linda's paper.
Oh, okay.
She prepared something that mentioned.
Okay, why don't you share that?
Very briefly. Okay. Linda wanted to be here, but she was laid low. She actually had to go to the hospital and get 2 units of fluids to get her rehydrated. Her body wasn't reacting to just drinking water, so she needed the saline and was having some other issues that they said was related from the heat stress of the trip and just getting back to normal. And so she wanted to share. She said, God was our sovereign guide on our trip. He took such good care of us. One way he did that was choosing Aubrey and Karen to be our earthly guides. They protected and watched out for us when we didn't have a clue what we were supposed to do. At one point, we all got excited seeing the orcas in the water. They were heading in our direction. Aubrey, the guide, like the mama duck, told us all to get close to the shore. You've never seen us paddle so fast. We're like, okay. We're like, we did not have to tell anyone twice. And we got over to the shore immediately because we had decided that experience trumped age every time. Karen, the guide, would encourage us and him so that we were protected. Aubrey would sometimes sing hymns. Thank you. This is the kind of stuff that happened the whole time. She would paddle, and that would help us keep our focus, our minds on him, as well as while we focused on the words of the hymn. Linda goes on to write, I will never forget kayaking at night under the velvety stars, the starlit sky. They glowed with the bioluminescence under each paddle stroke. Following the small red light on Aubrey's kayak, staying close together with Karen to our right to keep us close to the shore and singing Amazing Grace. A wonderful moment written on our hearts forever because God is so amazing. My takeaway from this trip is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13, and all things because of Christ. And I wanted to add that while Linda and I were kayaking, we would chant this verse over and over again and change the emphasis each time. I can do all things. I can do all things. And then I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. And we would say it over and over and over again and just change the emphasis each time. And it would change the meaning each time, but in its entirety was meaningful to us. And she has said that this is, since the trip, this is her new life verse. And that's it. Thank you.
All right.
From Linda McCoy.
All right. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. You guys, love you. I hear that there may be another trip next summer in the works, so you'll find out more about that. And how many of you guys think we ought to do it?
Amen. Yeah.
All right. Next year, Lord willing, I will call us together and we will do a man trip. All right? All right. But the goal is, through all of this, one of the things that Kim had shared, and that is the night, their final night before they headed back to camp, they saw a cougar. She saw a cougar that was in the bathroom area, the bathroom in the forest floor, Biff. And so she ran back and got a couple of ladies, and they confirmed it was a cougar that was there. They heard it growl, so their guide says, "We're leaving now." And so they had to paddle out in the dark. And one of the ways in which they did that was the guide was, because you couldn't see out there, was the guide would take a little red headlamp, turn it around, put it on red, and she would go out in front, and she'd say, "Just follow me." What a great image, right? Let your eyes be focused on Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Keep your eye on that little red dot, because He is with you. Amen? Father, thank You that You are with us regardless of the circumstances. Father, regardless of our fears and our doubts, You are still there. Father, whether we believe it or not, You are there. Father, whether we see You or not, You are there. You see us, even when we don't see You. And Lord, thank You for that grace. Thank You for that grace, Father, that we have the privilege of being stretched and crying out to You like Peter did or like these ladies did. Lord, save us. Father, may we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.